to you tonight about some things that the Lord has really turned me around upside down and inside out with the revelation of His Word. You know, I believe it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." So if we're a Christian tonight, if we've been born again, we don't have a spirit of fear. If we have one, it comes from the devil. And we know there's two sources things can come from spiritually. It's either God or the devil. Amen. Something bad happening to you, I can guarantee you it's the devil. If you're sick, it comes from the devil. If you're diseased, it comes from the devil. If you have cancer, it comes from the devil. Amen. If you're broke, it comes from the devil. Amen. How many of you have been broke? And I know God did not give me a broke spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Last night we talked about the goodness of God and how that God was a good God and how that God wanted to bless us. It was His will for us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospered. And that, you know, that God was a lot better God than we give Him credit for, I think, a lot of times. And but tonight I want to talk to you a little bit here about some things that I feel like is the most important for any Christian to understand. And that is the fact that we all have a power of choice. We have a power of choice. God gave Adam and Eve the power of choice. In other words, God could have created a man and a woman without that power of choice. In other words, that they didn't have to make a decision. They would just serve God. But God has given us the power of choice. And I believe I said last night, I quoted the scriptures over in Deuteronomy, and where it says, "I've set before thee this day life and death, blessings and cursings." And then God said, "Choose life, choose the blessings." And how many knows today there's people that's chosen death rather than life? They've chosen curses rather than blessings. If you have chosen life tonight, if you have chosen Jesus, amen. If you're born again tonight, you have chosen the blessings of God. That comes with the package, amen. I said it comes with the package. Life, amen, and death, blessings and cursings. Blessings does not come with death. Curses comes with death. And I'm not under a curse. How many of you are under a curse? You're not under a curse if you're born again. You're under life and you're under the blessings of God. Amen? Now, what the Lord is opening up our understanding about is that we have that power. We can choose life. We can choose death. You can choose cursings. Come on, or you can choose blessings. You can choose to be sick, or you can choose to be well. You can choose to live in poverty all the days of your life, or you can choose to be blessed of the Lord and live in an abundance. Because God has always been a God of blessings, of abundance. Amen. From the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, God has been a God of blessings. And the reason He's a God of blessings is simply because He's our Father and you're His child. Amen. It's a simple deduction. If you've ever have a child, or if you do have a child, I guarantee you, you want that child to be blessed. You do not want that child to be sick. You want that child to be happy. You want that child to have everything that that child needs. And Jesus said, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good thanks to them that love Him? Amen. So, I mean, we've got to have a change of mind or as to what our attitude is toward God. Amen. I believe people have got a misconception of God. And I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about ministers. Sometimes we can get a misconception about God. Amen. So, and that misconception would lead us down a path that's not chosen of God, but it's a path that we chose because we do not understand the relationship that Jesus has brought, amen, by His blood and by His sacrifice. He has redeemed us, praise God. He has reconciled us back to God. We are in a relationship with God, amen. The same relationship Jesus has with the Father, you and I now have because of Him. So whatever the Father bestowed upon Jesus, He will bestow upon you. Not because of your own righteousness or goodness or godly living even, but it's simply because of what Jesus did on the cross by His blood. Amen. You're sons of God today if you believe. You're born again if you have received and believed the gospel and obeyed that form of doctrine and teaching that was delivered to the people by the holy apostles. Amen. If we do not walk in what the apostles taught, then we're not walking in God. Amen. When we're not walking in what they said, we're not walking in the scripture. Can you say amen? There's people today that want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to any believer. Praise God. It's there. Amen. It's there for all of us. But amen, he will not give the Spirit of God to a worldly attitude or mindset. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus was very frank about that. But the Word of God tells us that every Christian, I'm assuming everyone here is a Christian or you have confessed a faith that you believe in the Lord. Amen. You believe in Jesus. And you believe he died on the cross for you. And you believe that you're born again. Jesus said, you what? You must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And the revelation of spirit, soul, and body defines that because you have to be born again. There is no human being that can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Because Adam lost that eternal life when he sinned. And all men from Adam, amen, until actually when Jesus came, is lived in death. Amen. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were born in death. So we had to be born again. Amen. That's when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Amen. And he was a leader of the Jews. He was a very important person, a very intelligent person. But as soon as he walked in, because he was a Jew that believed he was of God, he was God's people. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Do you know how that could have offended someone that said, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm a Jew. I'm God's people. I'm God's chosen. Here Jesus said, hey, you don't understand. You've got to be born again. In other words, for you to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. So he said it has nothing to do with your lineage. It has nothing to do where you, who you were, your parents were, because every one of us was born in sin. So Jesus said, you must be born again. So that's why, amen, that the message of being born again is so important today, because it is the message of salvation. Now, once you're born again, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In those two verses is the secret, amen, I believe, the secret is in those two verses, amen, to actually transform you into not only into the image of Jesus, and I believe it will if you can transform yourself, it will absolutely revolutionize your relationship with God. You know what that scripture is saying to you? It's saying to me and to you, how many knows the grace of God has appeared unto all men? Amen. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God teaches us. But now Paul is saying, it's teaching you these things, but you have got to offer up your body a living sacrifice. God is not going to offer up your body. He's saying, you offer up your body. You offer up your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just a reasonable service. That's the first thing a born-again Christian must do. God's not going to, God will give you the new birth. God will give you the Holy Spirit, but you have got to offer up your body unto him. That is the power of choice. See, God is not going to make that decision for you. He's going to tell you what you must do. Amen. You must be born again. You must offer up your body a living sacrifice. Amen. Touch yourself somewhere on your body and say, this is my body. Come on, dear. This is my body. This is my body. And God wants me to give him your body and my body. That's what the scripture is saying. But then it goes on a little further, see. Not only is he instructing the Christian to offer up their bodies, holding us up on God, but he's telling you to do one more thing. He's telling you to be renewed, that your mind must be renewed in order for you to be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, that's something you have to do. You can be transformed by the way you think. How many knows we've all been messed up with this thing between our ears here. Amen? Amen? We've been messed up right here. This mind of yours, the Lord is telling us we have the authority, we have the power, we have the right to change our minds, to renew our minds. And if we renew our minds, we can be transformed. The word transforms means a metamorphosis. It means a complete change. It's like a grubby looking worm turning into a butterfly. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a complete change that you and I have the ability to do. Amen. See, Christianity today has talked about, well, Jesus has done it all. And now all I got to do, I got to go to church and I got to pay my tithes and I got to live well, pretty well, right? Everybody sins a little bit every day. You know, that's the message of the world, the church world today, which is a lie. We don't have to sin every day. We can walk holy. We can walk in the Spirit, praise God. And if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust thereof. So we can live holy. We can live godly. We can live like Jesus lived because the Scriptures tell us that we can live that way. Amen. But you have to change your mind. As long as you got your mind made up, you cannot live without sin. And you cannot live, amen. You have to be sick every time flu season comes around. You have to have the sniffles every time something happens. Amen. In other words, we've been programmed to believe that we've got to do like the world does. We've been programmed that way. But see, God wants to reprogram us. Amen. We need to be reprogrammed. How many's ever had something had to be reprogrammed because it don't work right? Well, God is looking at his people and say, hey, y'all need to be reprogrammed. Y'all need to be able to, y'all need to start changing your mind and start thinking like the word says rather than what the world says. Think like the scriptures say rather than what the church world says. Think like God thinks instead of what man thinks, because that's the will of God for us, is to be transformed. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be transformed into the image of Jesus. I want to be like the Apostle Paul and be able to declare, I die daily. Amen. Every day I die. I'm a walking dead man. I live, amen, for Christ. Amen. That's the only reason I live is for Christ. Praise God. Amen. I want to come to that place that is not I that liveth, but Christ. That's how Paul expressed it. Not I that liveth, but Christ. And see, that is the will of God for every born again Christian, praise the Lord, that you and I can change our minds, change the way we think, amen, and begin to think like the Scriptures think, amen. I've been telling folks this. I've been telling folks about, praise God, about the blessings of God and what the blessings of God means to us, amen. You can be blessed in many ways. If I walked out and gave all of y'all a $10 bill, you'd say, I'm blessed. I've been blessed. Brother Hayes gave me $10, amen. But I believe that there is a place in God that you and I can walk in to where we never, ever, 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 never need a healing. That we never need a miracle. And why are you saying that? Because we've been programmed to believe that we have to be sick. We've been programmed that way. And you know, when I first got saved and I first started serving the Lord, I didn't believe in being sick. I didn't believe in being sick. I found out where Moses wasn't sick. I found out where the children of Israel, there was not a feeble one among them. All the time they were in the wilderness, God kept them by his power. Even their shoes didn't even wear out. Amen. And I believe in the supernatural power of God that was able to keep me and sustain me. Somewhere along the line, I got reprogrammed. And I got programmed to believe, well, you got to be sick. Flu season is coming. Everybody's going to have the flu. Everybody's going to get sick. Can you say amen? But what if you never, ever, ever needed a healing? What if you never needed that? I'm going to tell you what you would have. You cannot need a healing unless you're sick. Amen. You do not need, amen. In other words, if you needed a miracle, you would have to be going through a crisis. Something bad would have to happen in your life. Amen. So if there was a place that you could come to where you never needed a healing and you never needed a miracle, what kind of life would you live? I'll tell you what it would be. You would be living an abundant life. Jesus said the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have more abundantly. So to me, an abundant life is living above what the world's living. Living an abundant life is living a life, amen, without, amen, the effects of the world affecting me. Every time the economy falls down, everybody gets worried. Some people lose their jobs. This goes wrong and that's good. It's because of our mindset. Amen. The kingdom of God has never been broke and it never will be broke. Amen. So what we want to do and what I believe God wants us to do is change the way we're thinking. If we can think, amen, that that scripture that I quoted first, at the first scripture, I believe, 2 Timothy verse, chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Now, if that is true, how many believes that's true? I believe it's true. I believe I have a spirit of a sound mind. I believe I have the spirit of power. And so if I have the spirit of power, Jesus said that I have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. That's what Jesus said. And later to the church, it was written this way. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from you. So if you're submitted to God and you have steadfastly resisted the devil, then he's running from you. Is that right? Is that right? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep preaching this until I convince myself if I don't convince nobody else. But I believe what the Word of God says. And I'm going to let God be true, and I'm going to let every man be a liar, including all of y'all. I am going to believe what thus saith the Word of God says. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will run from you. Well, now listen, what is the devil the author of? He's the author of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning, a liar from the beginning. He is the author of disease. He is the author of sickness. He is the author of poverty. So in my mind, I look at it this way. Resist poverty and it will flee from me. Resist sickness and it will flee from me. Resist disease and it will flee from me. Amen. That's resisting the devil. Stand fast against it. Steadfastly standing against something, amen, means in faith I'm believing what the Word of God says, and I'm not going to succumb to a carnal mind. I'm going to let a spiritual mind be in me, and I'm going to walk in a spiritual mind, and I'm going to believe what God says, praise God. If I believe what God says, the devil is on the run from me, and the devil can be on the run from you. But see, we've got to be reprogrammed, amen. If we're never going to reprogram ourselves, we might as well just give up and go on and be like everybody else, amen. Have the flu, die, and when you're 50 years old of cancer, come on, be eat up, amen. Submit yourself to doctors all the time. Be coughing around and sputtering around and be sick and miserable all your life, come on, amen. When the blessings of God is in you, do you realize when you are born again, the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you? The power of God, amen, of the creator of the universe is inside of you. Yet, but we don't live that way. And the reason we don't live that way is because we have succumbed to the carnal mind. We're going to let our carnal reasoning destroy us. Amen. And your reasoning is, amen, is an enemy to God. Carnal minded is reasoned with the mind, reasoned with the flesh, reasoned with the world. Well, that can't be. Well, my God, there's no way a person can live without being sick. I would tell you right now, I can get the Bible out and I can show you all kind of people that live without being sick. And I can tell you in the Bible where it says God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. And if God was a respecter of persons, amen, then the Word of God is wrong. He's not a respecter of persons. If Moses lived, amen, without sickness, if the children in the wilderness lived without sickness, how many of y'all believe Jesus was sick? You know, anybody in here believe Jesus was sick? Can you imagine Jesus walking around and saying, oh, Peter, I feel like I'm getting, oh, I think I feel a flu spirit trying to take me over. I feel like I'm getting the flu. Can you imagine Jesus telling them, oh, John, call 911. I think I'm having a heart attack. I can't imagine Jesus doing that. Can y'all? There's no way. Why? Why? Oh, he was God. No, he was a man. He was God and man, but he was a man. He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, yet he was without sin, and God cannot be tempted. Oh, no. He lived without sin as a man, not as a God. Amen? Praise God. He overcame the devil, not as a God, but as a man. He overcame everything to show us the way, to let us understand you can overcome. You can overcome these things. But that's why the scripture is written. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll run from you. Why else would it possibly mean? Amen. But you know, Christians today are more afraid of the devil than they are God. They submit more to the devil than they ever submit to God. And it's to cry and shame about it. Amen. We are living so far below the blessings of God, it is pitiful. People are dying today of cancer. They're being eat up with all kinds of things that really love God. They love God with all of their heart, but they don't have any faith. In other words, when the doctor says, I got bad news for you, you got 6 months to live. Amen. Well, there's two ways you can look at that. One way, amen, if you're old, if you're, 90 years old, and he says you got 6 months to live, I believe you want to say, well, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, I'm ready to go. If God's ready, I'm ready. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, you ought to be excited, praise God. You mean to tell me about only 6 more weeks or 6 more months, and I'm going to be in heaven? 6 more months? Amen. He's not talking about Acapulco. He's not talking about, some paradise somewhere. He's on this way. He's talking about being in heaven in only 6 months, and I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to walk, amen, them golden stairways, and I'm going to walk them golden roads. Praise God. Hallelujah. And run through the hospital shouting glory. Amen. If you're 90 years old, you might want to do that. But if you're 40 years old or 80 years old, you know what you need to do? Says, hold it. What'd you say? Got bad news? I'm going to die in 6 months? That's a lie. I ain't going to die. I'm going to live, praise God. Amen. I'm going to live and declare the works of God. I'm going to live, amen, for Jesus, and I'm going to be a testimony and a witness. Amen. In other words, the way we look at it today, though, if we just give up. How many of you have ever felt like you're getting the flu? You can feel it, I mean, you ain't got it yet, but you can feel like you're getting it, right? You feel like, you know what that is? That's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit coming on you. And you know what we do most of the time? We just give in to it. Sometimes I told Sister Glenda, I've been warring with this thing here for a little while. And I told Sister Glenda, I said, the time now that I remember it, I've had the flu, is when I've been so tired, I almost welcomed it. I almost said, oh, praise God, I'm going to get the flu. Now I can rest for a week or two. Amen. Praise God. But listen. The times that I have resisted it, it's run from me. And I'm not kidding you. The times I have resisted it in my spirit man, there's something will stand up in you if you're born again. There's something will stand up in you, amen, and it'll give you a power. But see, first, you got to connect this mind, the soulish realm, with the spirit that's in you. When that connection is made, I guarantee you, you can stand up against anything that's coming against you. You can stand up with the enemy, praise God, if it's the flu, if it's cancer, no matter what it is, you can stand up against it. Through Jesus Christ, you can do all things. But our problem is this thing between our ears. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to change the way, and I have changed the way I'm thinking. I don't intend to get sick. I don't intend to get the flu. I don't intend to get old-timers disease or Alzheimer's or whatever it is. There's people today, amen, they think they're going to get Alzheimer's automatically because they're getting a little bit old. That's how stupid people are. I mean, it's the truth. We just have accepted everything. Oh, my daddy had a heart condition, so I'm going to have a heart condition too. Now, where is that in the Bible? Because your daddy had a heart condition don't mean you're going to have a heart condition. Just because your mama had sugar diabetes don't mean you're going to have sugar diabetes. But the doctor said, well, who cares what the doctor says? Who cares what the doctor says? We're not living under a curse. Amen. And I'm refusing to live under a curse. That's a curse. Sugar diabetes is a curse. Heart trouble is a curse. Cancer is a curse. Come on. Sickness is a curse. Disease is a curse. It's of the devil. It does not come from God. If you can't figure that out, praise God, I don't know where you're at. And, what planet are you from? We've got to figure this thing out, man. If it's from God, it's good. And if it's from the devil, it's bad. Praise God. Amen. As soon as you recognize that and you think, well, praise God, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. I'm standing up against this power of the devil. Praise God. I'm resisting him. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to get sick. Praise God. I'm going to walk through life victoriously, an overcomer. Amen. Give Jesus a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. See, God wants to bring us up into a level of faith that we've not experienced before. And faith cannot work in you until you acknowledge some things. Until you acknowledge that God has given, placed every good thing already in you if you're born again. When you can acknowledge that Jesus lives in you. When you can acknowledge that, the scripture says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, the last chapter 13 or somewhere, it says, it talks about how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be a reprobate. Except you be a reprobate, Jesus Christ is in you. Well, if Jesus Christ is in me, the healer, the miracle worker, amen, the dead raiser, Him that opened up the blinded eyes and unstopped the deaf ears and called the lame to walk. Amen. He's not sitting way up on a throne somewhere. He's in me and he's in you. Praise God. Well, if that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in me, I want you to understand something. I've got power and I've got authority, amen, that come from God, amen, over anything can come against me. Amen. Praise God. And I'm talking about you. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're flesh of his flesh. You're bone of his bone. You're part of him. Amen. You're his hands. You're his feet. You're his eyes. You're his nose. In other words, you're the body of Christ should be operating on the same level that Jesus operated on when he walked upon this earth. You ought to be walking to the same level. So I don't know. Well, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, for I go unto my Father. Is that what he said? See, a change of mind. That's why those two verses of Scripture is so important. Because we do not take that Scripture and apply it to ourselves. Sounds good to somebody else. Oh, I like that message. But listen, it don't do a bit of good to like a message. Not a bit of good. You have to apply it to your life. Amen. And you have to recognize that that message is not coming from Brother Hayes. It's coming from God. It's coming from the Word of God. Nobody said, well, Brother Hayes said, Brother Hayes. I'm sick of people saying Brother Hayes said. Brother Hayes is only saying what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God just given you the Word of God here so far, and I intend to rest on the message to give you the same Word of God, then God has given you power and authority over diseases, over sicknesses, over all the power of the enemy. He has given it to you. People are running from pillar to post trying to find a preacher that's got the power to set them free, and all the time they got it themselves. All the time it's right there in them if they're born again. It's right there. Amen. You have the power. Praise God. It's given to you by God. The authority comes by the Word of God. So whatever the Word says, amen, you believe. What man says, you reject. Amen. If the Word says it, how many knows there's conditions in the Word of God? And those conditions start with the biggest word in the Bible. It's the littlest word, but it's the biggest word. It's the word if. If I told you, amen, I'm telling you what, y'all got a piece of land out there, if y'all go out there and just plant some corn out there, you'll have a bumper crop. And I come back here next year and you say, Brother Hayes, that nothing happened. And I say, you mean to tell me you went out there and you planted in that field and nothing happened? You say, I looked at that field all summer and nothing happened. But you never planted no seed in it. You see what I'm saying? You can't get nothing out of the ground unless you put something in. You expect to get something out of the kingdom of God without putting something in it. It don't work that way. You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow, you'll reap. If you don't sow, guess what? You don't reap. It's the laws of God. We've got to understand there's laws of God that you and I have got to submit to. If we don't submit to, then it's not going to work for us. But you have the power of choice. How many of you know you can live for God today or you don't have to live for God? God's not making you live for him. God's not making anybody live for him. He didn't make Adam live for him. He didn't make Eve live for him. He's not making nobody live for him. You have the power of choice. It's up to you. You want life or you want death. You want blessings or you want curses. You have to make up your mind if you're going to do that or not. And if you make up your mind that you're going to obey the word of God and you're going to transform yourself by renewing that mind, changing that mind, and coming in alignment with what thus saith the word of God is, I'll tell you what, it will transform your life. You will be a Christian, sure enough, amen, that can do the works of Jesus. See, you got to believe. You got to believe that the power of God has been invested in you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you don't believe it, I don't care how much you talk in tongues, you ain't nothing going to happen in your life. If I didn't believe, if I laid my hands on sick and somebody's going to get well, I wouldn't even pray for them. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. He didn't say pray and it'll save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, if the prayer of faith saves the sick, what else does it do? It does everything else. You've got to believe that you're going to receive when you ask that you've already received it. That is faith. Can you say amen? But God wants you to have that power of faith operating in you. It's simply believing the word of God. If we do not change, amen, the way we're thinking, if we don't get unprogrammed from what the church world has been teaching us and what man has taught us and what CNN and Fox News says, we're going to be in deep trouble in the coming years, amen. I believe God is preparing a people to overcome in the last days. I believe God is preparing a people, amen, that's going to stand victoriously. They're going to be the overcomers in the end time, and nothing by any means is going to harm them. They're going to have, amen, the power and authority, and it is going to be manifested in the world before Jesus comes back. He left a church here on fire for God. He left a church full of the Holy Ghost. He left a church, amen, that was casting out devils and healing the sick, turning the world upside down. If you think he's coming back for a church with any less power, you are dead wrong. He's coming back for a same church, amen, that he left here, amen. A perfect church, a holy church, amen. A church on fire for God. Not just the preacher on fire, but the entire body of Christ. On fire, the Holy Spirit, amen, turning the world upside down one more time. Amen. And that's what this changing of our minds is all about. Amen. If you don't think you're the body of Christ, amen, what good are you going to do? I believe I actually am in the body of Christ. I am part of his body. Amen. That is a fact as far as I'm concerned, the word of God. I believe that I can do the works of Jesus. Amen. I believe that the Spirit that raised him from the dead is living in me. I believe Jesus Christ is in me. Just like I just quoted, except you be a reprobate. Amen. Jesus Christ is in you. Amen. He's not way off somewhere. I believe God lives in me. He is here today. We are accompanied about, amen, all about us in this room is angels ready to minister, amen, to the heirs of salvation. Jesus said where two or three would gather in his name, he would be in the midst, praise God. Don't you realize those words are true? And if Jesus is here, don't you know he's ready to heal? He's ready to deliver. He's ready to save. He's ready to set free. He's ready to do whatever you need, amen. But all he's looking for is somebody to believe him. And that's the problem. We just do not believe. Sister Glenn and I was just talking about this not too long ago. And how the fact is so many people are dying at an early age. So many, I'm talking about people that love the Lord with all of their hearts. Got the Holy Ghost, speaks in tongues, dying at an early age. Corrupted, amen, it's hoping, and then it's almost in a hopeless situation, hurting, despondent, troubled, and it shouldn't be that way. And most of them love the Lord with all of their heart, but you know, when it comes down to really believing, they don't believe. It is our problem. Unbelief stopped the apostles. They stopped them dead in their tracks. Jesus said, give them power and authority over all demon forces, over all the enemy. They went out and they come back rejoicing. And Jesus said, and they were rejoicing that the devils were subject to them, but there was one they couldn't cast out. And Jesus said, told us it was because of your unbelief. Even Jesus, among his own kinfolks in his own hometown, could do no miracles but lay his hand on a few sick folk because of their unbelief. If unbelief stopped Jesus, it'll stop you. And I'm telling you what, I'm standing against unbelief, amen. Every time I get anything, any kind of feeling of unbelief, I start resisting it right away because I know that's going to try to stop me, amen, from obeying the Lord. It's going to stop the children of God. That spirit of unbelief has got to be dealt with. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what the Lord is doing with us and trying to get us to change our minds. Praise God. Listen, if we do what the Bible says, there is no way, no way that the blessings of God can be stopped from you if you do what the Bible says. But you've got to believe it. Only you is stopping the move of God in your life. Only you is hindering your healing or your deliverance or your whatever you need in this life. Only you is stopping it. The devil has no power over a born-again Christian. He has no power. None whatsoever. Zilch. Zero. Nada. No power over a born-again Christian. None. He had no power over Adam and Eve. And he had no power over the church. All he can do is suggest to you, just suggest to you, you got to sin a little bit every day. Well, everybody does.
Everybody gets sick. He don't know what he's talking about. Jesus said, you'll always have poor folk among you. The poor is what receive the gospel. You know what you're doing? You're letting the devil defeat you. How can the poor help the poor? How can the poor feed the poor? How can the poor clothe the poor? God wants you blessed where you can be a blessing to somebody else. God did not bless Abraham just to bless him. He said, I'm blessing you where you'll be a blessing. And Abraham was a blessing to others. Can't you understand? We are listening to the voice of reasoning, which is of the devil. We are reasoning these things. We are reasoning these things, and it is defeating us from accomplishing what God has sent us in this earth to do, and that is to manifest and reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. Amen. 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 Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's the word of God. Amen. You have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Offer up your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. Don't be fashioned like the world. But rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform yourself by the way you think. Change the way you think. Think like God thinks. Think like the Word says. And I'll guarantee you, praise God, if you get up in the morning, praise the Lord, instead of, oh, me, God, I don't know why I'm going to make it through the day today. The devil done got me all beat up. That Brother Hayes last night, and God, he told me all this stuff, and I just don't know. You know, you get up in the morning, you know, and you let the devil just deceive you, mess you over and everything. Instead of getting up and saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, I'm an overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm wall to wall and height to ceiling, floor to ceiling, full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm ordained. I'm elected. I'm chosen in God. Praise God. He's given. He made us kings and priests unto God. I've got power and authority over all the power of the enemy. I just bless you today, Lord. And I thank you today, Lord. And I'm ready. Amen. Amen. To put every devil around me on the run. Praise the Lord. If you wake up in the morning with that kind of attitude, I guarantee you're going to have a good day. Somebody say a good day. But if you wake up with the molly grubs and you wake up with depression and oppression and you look around you and you see everything like it is, you say, it ain't working. It ain't working. It ain't working. You know what you're doing? You're walking by sight. You're not walking by faith. You don't look at the problem. You don't look at the trouble. You don't look at your financial condition. You don't look at the sickness that may be in your body. You don't look at the trouble. No, 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 no. When they came to Jesus and they had a multitude of people to feed, and there was a little lad there with how many fish? 2 or 3 fish and a loaf or 2 of bread. When they came to Jesus, you know what? He said, feed them. He said, Jesus, what's wrong with you, man? They ain't looking. There's thousands of people here. There's only a kid over here with some fish and some bread. You know what Jesus said? The Bible says he took the bread. He took the fishes. Looking up, he thanked God. And he gave it to his disciples. He didn't look at the problem. He didn't look at the bread. He didn't look at the 2 fishes. He didn't look at the multitude. He looked to God. Quit walking by sight. Walk by faith. Believe that your situation is going to change. Have faith in God. Amen. If you can have faith in God and believe your situation is going to change, it will change. That's what God's looking for, is for you to trust him and believe that your situation is not going to remain the same, no matter if it gets worse tomorrow, if it gets worse the next day, if it gets even worse the next day. If you'll have faith in God, your faith may be being tried a little bit. But if you'll have faith in God, your situation is going to change because the Word of God said it. Amen. Changing the way you think is going to transform your life. If you think you're unworthy and you'll never amount to anything, you're sorry and low down and no count, guess what you're going to be? Sorry and low down and no count for the rest of your life. But if you believe, how many believes, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has saved your miserable hide. Amen. Amen. And gave you a new birth, praise God, in your spirit man. Amen. He's revolutionized your life, and he's putting the Word of God in your mind, putting it in your soul. Praise God. I tell you what, you can turn the world upside down. It doesn't matter if you was a prostitute yesterday. You could get saved tomorrow. Amen. And God will change your whole life, and you can turn the world upside down for Jesus. Amen. Believe it with all my heart. But what has been happening for the past many years is that we have been programmed to believe that God only gifts a few individuals and that the church at large doesn't have the power. And that is a lie. That is a lie. And we have been told this and told this and told this. Well, brother so-and-so is coming from New York. He'll be down here. And everybody runs to brother so-and-so. Well, the same Jesus that sent brother so-and-so is in you. Where's your faith at? Where's your faith in God at? Your pastor, if you have a church to go to, your pastor has the same power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in him that's in brother so-and-so from New York. But we've been programmed to trust man instead of God. You believe God's everywhere? You believe God's in you? If you believe Jesus Christ is in you? If you don't believe that, you're reprobate. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Changing your life by the way you think. And if you change your life, you can change the world. You can change your family. You can change your town. You can change your church. But it takes a change. It takes a willingness to be programmed with God rather than man. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to give you a favorite scripture of mine. Philemon. I want you to listen really close at this. Those that travel with me are probably going to get tired of me saying all this, but I'm going to keep saying it until I believe it or they believe it fully, 100%. Because God has got a work for us all to do in this last day. Amen. Some of y'all remember, I haven't told everybody, but some of y'all remember my message that I wrote on how Christians should support Israel. Y'all remember that and how so many turned against me? Call me an anti-Semitic, for God's sake. You know, like I was against the Jews or something. It's crazy. But you know what? I got an email just the other day from Israel. They won't. The ministry there, the Jewish ministry there, wanted my permission to translate that message into Hebrew, German, Dutch and Russian, as well as other languages. But those four, they wanted to translate that message into those languages because, brother, and they said, brother, this is the message. What you wrote is what they need to hear. And you know what they wrote me? They said this. He said, for some reason, people in America will support Israel with money to try to build a temple, which they can't even build there. With money to try to raise up some kind of red heifer or something, with money to do all kinds of carnal stuff, but he said they will not give a penny to the preaching of the gospel there. He said they won't give a penny for it. And I wrote him back, I said, because they're knuckleheads. They think the Jews are saved for some reason or other. They need the same gospel that we need. When Peter stood on the day of Pentecost, told him, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for your remission of sin, he was not just talking to Jews. The same message went to the Gentiles. And I told him, I said, that message was going to come from the Gentiles back to Jews, amen. And I believe there's going to be a revival there, praise God. But it's going to be through the preaching of the gospel. Amen. So now God's opened that door for me. They want me to come there. Because of that message, which people in America thought it was wrong. See what I mean? A change of the mind. Their minds are messed up. Church folks' minds is messed up. I'm telling you, they're messed up. They have the philosophy of the world. They have been programmed to believe like the world thinks. Amen. And God's changing my mind, and I'm hoping he's going to change yours. If you will allow him, if you will make up your mind, I'm going to think like his word says. I'm going to line up with what the word of God says. Now, if you're born again, somebody say born again. I can't make you be born again. Only Jesus does that work. I can tell you got to change your mind. I can tell you got to offer up your body. I can tell you got to listen to the Holy Ghost and live right and do right. I can tell you, instruct you what the Bible says, but I cannot give you the new birth. Neither can I give you the Holy Spirit.
Only God can. But there is something, if you're born again, that you have to do. You have to offer up your body. You have to renew your mind to think like the Word says, to transform yourself from what you were into something that you're not. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Okay? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. In other words, what he's saying, that your faith might work. There's something that you can do. How many knows every man has been given a measure of faith? You all have a measure of faith. God give it to you. But how many will confess it's not working? It doesn't work all the time. This says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, that your faith might work by the acknowledging or accepting, by accepting that every good thing which is in you by Christ Jesus. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So what's that saying? If you will accept that when you were born again, that God has placed every good thing in you, it will make your faith work. It'll make it work. Amen. Does everybody got it? Philemon. That the communication of faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. I got to get these Presbyterian folks on Pentecostal level, I reckon. But listen. Your faith will work when you believe that Jesus is in you. Your faith will work when you believe the gospel. Your faith cannot work until you believe that every good thing is in you. And how many knows every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above, in whom there's no variableness, no turning or shadow. In other words, he never changes. Amen? But if we can believe, if we can accept it, that Jesus Christ is really in me, that the Holy Spirit of God is really here, that God has put faith, he's given to every man a measure of faith, that I really do have faith in me, if I can really believe that, if I can accept it, that it's not anything that I do, it's something he did. All I have to do is believe it. Ever seen people try to pray for somebody? You know what they'll do? They put that hand on, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it's like they're trying to put something in them in the flesh. There's some preachers that knock you silly. They'll knock you down. It's like, you know what? Like, I'm doing this. That is not God. That is not God. Now look at me funny. When Jesus came in contact with the devil, they fell down before him. Jesus would speak the word and they'd be healed. Laying on of hands, we laid on hands here tonight. I didn't knock nobody down, did I? No. You know why some people went down? It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's not me. That's not a person. That's something that's in me that's manifested. I don't have to grunt. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about let's getting back to the Bible. Let's get our minds in tune again with what the Word says. And if I believe and I accept that everything is in me, healing is in me, deliverance is in me, salvation is in me, the power of God is in me, prosperity is in me, every good thing is already in me. I don't have to ask for it. God has already deposited it when I was born again, and I can prove it to you with the Word of God. It's already in me. So if it's in me, it's in you. And if it's in me and it's in you, then the only thing holding it back is you or me. We're the only one that can stop it by unbelief. Why else would he have said by acknowledging it? Why else did he say by acknowledging that every good thing is in you? That the effectual working of your, that your faith will be effectual just simply by believing what's in you. It's simple as the nose on a duck's face, and he's all nose. Surely you can believe that. That every good thing is in you.
Amen.
You know, all that kind of stuff. All this religious stuff. Reality is what I'm trying to open up your mind to see. Reality, what this word says. I'm not going to wrestle with the devil. I don't find nobody in the Word of God to wrestle with the devil. I'm not wrestling with the devil. I've been in meetings where people would actually wrestle with the devil, trying to cast the devil out of somebody. Get down on the floor, rolling over and over and over, trying to cast the devil out of somebody. Well, stupid. You can't show me that in the Word of God. We don't wrestle against the devil. Amen. Lord, help us, Jesus. I'm doing my best to try to bring you to a level to where you can be the overcomer that this word says you are, that you can do. Let me tell you something. This is my last one, I promise you. The Bible says plainly that you, he's writing it to the church, he's not writing it to the preacher, he's writing it to the church, that you can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you can think or ask according to the power that dwelleth in you. There's something in you that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can think or ask. And where is that power at? Where is it at? Where did he say it was at? Did he say it was up on the throne somewhere beyond Mars? He said it's in you. Now, I'm just simply going to take the Word of God, and I'm going to believe it. That the power that can do more than I can even think, more than I can even ask, is right here in me. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. Amen. If you're not born again tonight, this is a good night to be born again. As she sings something softly, I want you to consider what I've said here tonight. All I'm saying to you children, well, I'm not getting on to anybody. I hope you didn't think I'm getting on to anybody. I'm trying my best to bring you to a level in God. Amen. And that level in God is what you have to believe. It's not something you have to exert energy to get to. Amen. You don't have to exert any energy to do it. All you have to do is believe. That's it. It is so simple. You just have to believe what God has said to you. If you need prayer, if you need prayer tonight, maybe you're not sure if you're born again. Maybe you're not sure that you're saved. Maybe the devil has tormented you to the point that you're almost to a nervous breakdown. I feel that. Felt some of that last night a little bit. But the devil can torment you if you allow him to. The way to keep the devil from tormenting you is to resist him. Stand up against him. But I want to stand with you in prayer. Believe with you. That whatever your need is, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or spiritual or financial, whatever your need is, God wants you blessed. His will is for you to be blessed. His will is for you, amen, to be an authority and use his power. So if you need something from the Lord tonight, as she sings, I'm going to give you just a moment to come forward, okay?
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the Lord. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking who tells a soul. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some.
You know, that's God's will for you. It's for you to be happy,
God has
you to be blessed, you to be in health, you to have the things that you need in this life. That's His will for you. Will you help me pray for her? Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Holy Father, God, you said she believed what I ministered here tonight. Lord, I believe, God, Lord, that you want this woman well in every aspect of her life. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord, I believe you want her well. You want her blessed and happy. You want her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, as I place my hand upon her, Lord, I believe, Lord, that your hand is upon her. God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power in the name of Jesus, and by the authority that you have given your people, by the authority you have given me in the name of Jesus, I speak healing and deliverance, Lord. And I speak, Lord, a change, Lord. God, in our whole life, God, a change, Lord. Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm believing, Lord, God, that you're doing a work in her life, in her body right now, even from the top of her head through the soles of her feet, Lord, I believe you're taking a change in her body, and Lord, in her circumstances, Lord, by faith, I'm believing you're changing a lot of things in her life, God. She's going to be astounded, Lord, for what you're going to do for her. Even, Lord, in just the next few weeks, God, she's going to be astounded, Lord, at what you're doing for her. I speak that by faith, believing that you're honoring her faith by coming forward here in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I'm so glad.
Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. That's all it takes is a little bit of faith and trust in and believe in God. He can change everything for you. Amen. Praise God. Go and be blessed. I believe the Lord's touched you tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is anyone else? Praise the Lord.